And today we're going to go into the Word. And the message I have, it has been simmering, you know, for over a month now. And I could not change it because I think it's just so potent, just so right. It's called a sure word of prophecy. And I want us all to just focus prayerfully on God's will for mankind as we go through this period of fast changing world events. There is no doubt that something great is about to happen. But for the most part, the world is not sure as to what the future looks like. We all agree that there will be a new norm because things will not return to what it was. You know, I saw a picture recently of a New Year's party at the end of 2019. And man, when I saw the balloons, the fireworks, the dress, the joy on people's face as they celebrated, I realized the world has changed and has changed drastically since with the pandemic coming on early 2020. The future, we all have an interest in the future because that's where our joys, our sorrows, our hopes and dreams lies. So we want to emphasize today the importance of trusting in God's word for the future. If you can turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, it says, for we have not followed cunningly, verse 16. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter, in the previous verses, you can see that he wanted to pour out everything that he knew because he said that he knew that the time was coming when he would have to put off this tabernacle. That is, he knew he was going to die. Peter also knew that he had seen things, he had experienced things that the world should know, things that should be passed on through generations. And he wanted everyone to know that what he's passing on are not cunningly devised fables. But he wants to make us know that there is the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said in another scripture that he knew that in the last days, I think it's verse 9, 2 Peter 2, 9, in the last days that there will be scoffers saying, where's the coming of the Lord? Because things remain as it were from the beginning. So Peter had he anticipated that the time would come when men would not be strong believers in the word of God and in the coming of Jesus Christ. And so he put this passage here to remind us, and it serves a great purpose for us today. When we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus, now he says that he was an eyewitness, and they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So he's referring to Jesus Christ here as his majesty. They saw his majesty. They were eyewitnesses of him. Now, he's going to tell us the story. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that is, my beloved son, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. We all remember that story. It happened at his baptism, and it also happened in the mount. So verse 18, he says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. So that confirms it was at the Mount of Transfiguration that he heard the voice from heaven. That is God giving his son honor and glory with his own voice. So Peter is using this as concrete evidence that the will of God was done through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, and all the things that are written about him will come to pass, including his second coming. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were in the mount. Verse 19, and we have also a sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So what's interesting here is that Peter, he emphasized the fact that he knew that Jesus was the Christ because he heard God's endorsement of him on the Holy Mount. But that was not sufficient for Peter, and that was not the greatest thing for Peter as an eyewitness. Now, Peter had lots of adventures with Jesus. He was indeed the outspoken disciple. He was one of Jesus' closest friends. He was an apostle and a pillar of the church. Enthusiastic, strong-willed, impulsive, and at times even brash. But Peter had several failings, and he came to know the Lord still choose him in spite of his failures. And he showed a love for Christ after his conversion like no other. But after all what he witnessed and experienced with Christ, when he says this in verse 19, that we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, he's telling us that, listen to what is written in the Word. And I like the picture he paints here. He said, the prophecy is like unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The future right now may look dark for many, but the Word of God shines as a light into that dark place. Are you with me here? It's shining as a light into the dark place, and it will continue to shine until daybreak, until we can see clearly what God has done and how we have been redeemed from the bondage of corruption and the things of this life. So, brethren, Peter is admonishing us to hold on to the word of prophecy. Now, verse 20, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he's putting it out there very clear that don't take the prophecies of the scriptures lightly, because they are not just a private thing. It is the will of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So having established the fact that the prophecies are our guide, our lamp, it is what will take us through the dark days until the day star arises in our hearts. And let's look at some examples of prophecies that have been fulfilled. And then we can ask if these prophecies have been fulfilled in the past, then what prophecies are there that points us to the future, sheds lights into the future. So let's go to the past. And I'm going to look at a prophecy that was fulfilled in one day, to show how God truly controls all the elements of the world, how he truly is in control of the human life. So turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6 and verse 24. And it reads, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 4 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine presses? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard these words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him. But here the messenger came to him. He said to the elders, See ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head? Look when the messenger cometh. Shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him and said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? This was a hard story even to read. What had happened in Israel? The famine was so bad that even the doves, the birds' dung was sold. I just can't imagine the hunger, the devastation, and not only that, the cannibalism that started. The woman, the two women had their children and decided, okay, I'll eat mine today, and tomorrow we'll eat your son. This was horrible. God, this was God's people. And if you read the verses before this, God definitely was present in Israel. It was when the king of Syria, he tried to attack Israel a number of times, and everything he tried failed because Elisha, the prophet, he was able to tell the king of Israel what was happening, what the plans were. So the king of Syria was wroth, and he said to his all his army, so one of you here must be a betrayer, because all our plans are failing. And one stepped up and says, it's not us, but there's a prophet called Elisha who stay in his bedchamber and tell the king of Israel everything that you speak in your bedchamber. That's how powerful the prophetic vision of Elisha was. He was able to do all these things. So now comes the famine, and the king of Israel was wroth with Elisha and says, no, you tell me what can this mean? How long shall we wait? This is gone to the point where people are cannibalizing. This was bad. So in chapter 7, 2 Kings 7, there's a fascinating story here that we'll look at. Elisha, verse 1, Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. So we just looked at the grim situation. The famine was so bad, people were cannibalizing. And the king went to Elisha. He looked to him for guidance, for leadership, and he could not understand. The king must have been so distressed to hear one of his subjects saying that, look, they're fighting over eating their kids. He's responsible, and he was wroth, and he wanted to take off Elisha's head. But Elisha, you know, saw when he was coming before he entered the house, and could tell his servants what to do. And this is what the Lord told Elisha to tell them, that tomorrow you'll have flour and you'll have barley at the gates of Samaria. Wow. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned against the man of God said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. So there again, Elisha prophesied. Another thing, that Lord on whom the king was leading, he will see the wheat and the barley at the gates of Jerusalem, but he himself would not eat of it. Brethren, it's a fascinating story. You can read it for yourself, but I'll quickly summarize it. After that scene was laid there, then the next verses went now to explain how it was fulfilled. Let's do a verse or two. Verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And if we shall die there, and we shall die there, sorry. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. Interesting situation. So these are leprous men, leprous Israelites. They had to stay outside of the gate, and they look at their options and say, you know, let's go into the camp of the enemy. If they kill us, they kill us. But if they save us, we shall be alive. And look what happened. And they rose up early in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Why? For the Lord hath made a host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us, and the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians will come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the potter of the city, and they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither the voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore, they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, there are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And when they went after them unto the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste, and the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Wow. All a matter of hours, brethren. From severe hunger leading to cannibalism and the eating of dung, to bags of barley and wheat at the gate, and the people rushing for it. And as prophesied by Elisha, the price was of such, just as he prophesied, a measure of barley for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel. It was fulfilled. Now, when we look at the severity of this case, we realize that divine intervention has happened. Overnight, because Elijah said the next day they're going to have the food. Now, how did God accomplish this? He was a fighter for Israel. And that's one thing that we learn as we go through the Old Testament, that Israel did not have to physically use their sword all the time. God made things happen. And this time God made the Syrians to hear the sound of armies coming. And they all took off. They ran away. And they left all their belongings, all the food, all the garments. Their asses were all tied up. And Israel just came in and took all of that within the day. As you read on, you realize that that Lord on whom the king was leaning, he saw with his own eyes that, yes, it came to pass. There was wheat, there was barley, and they were being sold for the price that the prophet said. But there was one more thing that the prophet said, that he would see it, but he would not eat it. And the people rushed, they trampled upon the king's Lord, and himself died. Another part of the prophecy coming to pass. You know, when we went through this passage, we realized that God does have things under control. And sometimes God takes his people to that point of total hopelessness, before he breaks through. Israel, when they reached the Red Sea, brethren, it was almost an impossible situation. Pharaoh's army was coming behind. The sea was in front of them. They were surrounded. There was just about nowhere to go. But a man, Moses, who was in touch with God, who was hearing from God, was able to say, stand still and see the salvation of God. And what only God can do was done. Parted the sea and allowed the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea. Not only that, he allowed the enemy to come behind them. And when they were in the midst of the sea, then God took down the walls and drowned the army in the sea. So God is the great defender, the great fighter himself. Brethren, Jesus Christ himself made some quick prophecies, things that fulfill in a day. And one of them was Peter's denial of him as he went through that difficult period on the cross. He said, before the cock crew thrice, thou shalt deny me twice. I hope I don't get them mixed up there, the twice and the thrice. But it so happened that Jesus, having the gift of prophecy, could tell the man of God, he could tell Peter exactly what would have happened in a matter of hours. And it happened. So you can imagine when Peter said that there's a sure word of prophecy, he probably had even this incident in mind, that Jesus was able to tell him what would have happened that night. And he was like a pawn of circumstances. He had no control over the future. He just had to comply. As the world stands today, brethren, we have questions as to what tomorrow brings. We've been out of the norm in terms of the great fellowship and worship for 2 years now, and going in a third year. Our minds are constantly being bombarded with stories, news, possible outcomes, conspiracy theories. The philosophers have their theory. The various political ideology have their theory as to what the outcome will be. I want to suggest that with all that we are hearing, none knows the outcome but God. God knows what this world will be in the next year and 5 and 10. And one thing that God tells us will happen is that he's going to send his son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth. There will be a true takeover of the government, because when we talk about prophecies to be fulfilled, there's one main prophecy that continues to hold me, anchor me in the faith. And that is the prophecy that we studied in Daniel about the four kingdoms represented by the four beasts, or the image that represented the four kingdoms represented, Nebuchadnezzar's image. Just as the three kingdoms we can identify by name, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, and the fourth one we identify as Rome, the fifth one in those prophecy, brethren, remains the kingdom of God and of Christ. And although it's a long period for it to be established, God had everything planned. He knows the beginning from, he knows the end from the beginning. And so we are sure that it will come to pass. We may be standing at the brink of the eternal kingdom of God that will come and take over all the uncertainties of this world, all the uncertainties of life. The prophecies are sure. We have heard many sermons, especially by Brother Horane on Matthew 24. And all the prophecies that are being taught right now. My brethren, when Jesus said that there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, that's a part of the Olivet discussion. Up to late 2019, some of us could not even imagine that this world could go to shambles. And as we are in 2022, we are now recognizing that, yes, in fact, all these horsemen that were studied in Revelation, these prophecies, definitely we are seeing where they can be true in our time. Now, there's a lot of history that suggests that these things have happened in great proportion before. But, you know, as we grow into this beautiful, peaceful age since the last World War, we've had a period, the world have seen a period of growth and peace and bliss and development. And humanity has reached places that we have never reached before. Talking about going to the moon. And now with all that is being done with technology, and there are plans for the human race to even experience a lot more things that we only had in our imagination are becoming reality. But it's not man's plan. It's not the government's plan. It's not the philosopher's idea that will take us into the future. It is the sure word of prophecy. It's the only thing that can shed true light into the dark future. As a body, it is our responsibility, brethren, to shine this light so that those in the world can see and believe. They are mockers, they are scoffers, but we will stand up to them. We will not allow those who call the Bible hate speech to think that there is no God. Well, I just saw an article where a woman wrote about the laws of marriage, the biblical stance on marriage in Finland. And she was arrested and jailed for 1 year because it does not go with their policies. And a pastor who quoted from her and referred to her article, he was also jailed. We are certainly getting to that time when those who speak for Christ will have to watch their backs, because those who think that they have the future in their control will want to take action to preserve their ideology and their wishes of what humanity outcome and future should be. I can tell them that they have already failed. Because the sure word of prophecy tells us what's going to happen. The sure word of prophecy tells me that before the glorious return of Jesus Christ, there will be a time of trouble such as never was. And I am now witnessing things, including the war that started this week, that is pointing us closer and closer to that day. This is no time for followers, believers, the elect body to sit quiet, to be dormant. This is no time for us to be asleep. This is a time when we should be wide alert, awake and alert, ready for action. I noted in the description of the end time affairs events that a time is going to come when God will hold back war until his servants are sealed. You know, when I hear the anticipation of the present war coming, I thought to myself, what does this mean? statistically, Russia and China together have more armies, army member, and what the biblical prophecy said that would be required for the Great War. And they are friends, they are in collusion. The things are all set. Right now, we're looking at a possible cyber war. Sanctions are being put on Russia, and they will they're expecting retaliation with cyber attacks. The future is just so uncertain. We just don't know. As far as the human beings are concerned and our ability to predict the future. But brethren, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And I just thought that today I would make that point and try to make it as strong as I can, that we look nowhere else for answers. We look nowhere else but to the word of prophecy. It means that we must pay attention. We must open our ears, our eyes to God, just as he spoke through Elisha, Moses, Isaiah, and all the prophets. He's speaking to us today. I want us, brethren, to take the opportunity to be what Peter was in saying that, look, whatever it be, I want the word to be living in my day and beyond my day. I want you all to understand that there is a sure word of prophecy which should not be lost with time. And that is why we will continue to look into history and into the Bible, and we will uncover truth that has been lost and let the world know what the true Bible doctrines and Bible prophecies really are. There's a lot to be done. And before the Great War, let us do our part, brethren, so that the servants of God, those who are to come, will come. And they will be sealed by the Holy Spirit before we see the climax of all things. If it is God's will that these things happen in our lifetime. You know, as Brother Hurin said at the beginning of the year in the sermon, we must hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. I want to echo that message again, that we must be on guard. We must be spiritually sharp. We must be like soldiers ready to fight the spiritual warfare that we are called to fight. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may the word of prophecy be a light in your future. God bless. Thank you.